message that I wanted to preach. I knew at least a month ago of a couple of things that I knew that you all would need. And it was very hard for me to decide this morning, and I really believe I'm doing what the Lord wants. The preached a message last night at Brother Gibbs' church that I believe is needed, but the Lord has something else here. And I want to give it to you out of Revelation chapter 3. Now I want to say that I appreciate what the brother said about preaching in them bib overalls. And I had a lady make me a pair of dress overalls. She made them out of pinstripe suit material. I might wear them this week, I may not. You may or may not understand this, but I am going to repent before I preach, because I want you to get something from God. And I don't think it's wrong to wear those things. I think it's just fine to wear them. But you know, the Lord dealt with me about a couple things on that, and I said, all right, Lord, I'm never going to preach in those again unless it's at a camp or picnic or something. I just wear a suit or my dress overall, kind of for the weaker brethren. But I'm going to tell you who it's for more than anything else. It's just for my wife. You see, when you're married, if you're a woman, you seek to please your husband. That's biblical, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you're a man, then there are things that you must seek to please your wife in. And my wife just looked at me and looked up at them old overalls, and you know, that's nothing to look proud of. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do right. So that's why I'm not in them. You want to wear them, your wife don't care, that's fine. I do that for my wife, who's a lovely lady and a real blessing to me, and I got a preacher, I'll cry. Revelation 3. Revelation 3, and we begin at verse 14. I want to begin at verse 13. And we'll stand as we read the Word of God. He that hath an ear, let him hear. I like God because God's very simple. There are not too many big words. In the book of Romans you find a few, but God is very simple. And ain't nothing hard about that. If you got an ear this morning, be good for you to hear. Amen. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. You listen to everybody else, but you need to listen to what the Spirit got to say. And what He got to say unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that thou wert cold or hot. God's kind of an extremist, you know. He just appreciates you being all the way, whether it's all the way cold or all the way hot. If you're not going to be nothing for God, then He just appreciates you being cold altogether. And if you're going to be something for God, then He appreciates you just being hot altogether. Amen. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Now I won't put this out to you, then I'll finish the passage and you can sit down. But you'll be down a little while this morning, so keep the blood going. He said, I want you to buy some clothes so the shame of your nakedness don't appear. Now you know, when Adam and Eve were made, they were naked, but they had no shame. And when Adam and Eve fell, then the shame came. And so that nakedness and shame shows up together in the Bible. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is speaking in relationship to the judgment seat of Christ, and he says that we know that if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that we got a building of God. And it's made without hands, eternal in the heavens. And it said, in this tabernacle we groan, desiring to be clothed upon. We don't groan to be unclothed. And he said, if so being that we be clothed upon, we shall not be found naked. The Apostle Paul says that a child of God can show up at the judgment seat of Christ and be found naked. He said, we want to be clothed upon that we might not be naked. And then John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, or chapter 2, and he said, now abide in him, little children, that when he appear, you'll not be ashamed at his coming. And then here in Revelation chapter 3, he writes to the church, and he says, here, he said, now look, he said, you need to buy some clothes from me, otherwise you'd shame me, your nakedness is going to appear.
Right.
Now I just throw this out for you Bible students, but you know, when you get the judgment seat of Christ, and evidently through the millennium, and I'm not sure where it all take place. I know where the millennium take place, but where you going to be? But you're going to stand there, and you get a glorified body. That's yours. That's your acquired inheritance in God. But there's an earned inheritance. And you get a glorified body, but you may not get no clothes for it. You see, at the judgment seat of Christ, you can get clothes, crown, and jewels that go on the clothes and on the crown. Now, I don't know what's going to happen to you, but I tell you what, just like I want to be dressed so that my wife would be pleased and proud of me, I want to get through the judgment seat of Christ just as fancy and as dressed as I can be so that my Savior can be proud of me. Don't you understand? So he's warning them here. And then he said, as many as I love, I rebuke. Ain't that something? Nobody wants rebuke no more, but really, open rebuke is better than secret love.
Amen.
God said, as many as I love, I rebuke. And if God rebukes you this week, it's because God loves you.
Amen.
Oh, thank God for that rebuke. And he said, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore. And what's he wants you to do? He wants you to repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And then the God says it again. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God give us ears this morning for thee. In Jesus' name, amen. You might be seated. Now we're going to have a good time this week.
Amen.
And there are going to be some times and people are going to be shouting and waving hankies. Jumping, maybe some Yankee will even get a case of Tennessee Holy. It might run the aisle. It'd be that or some of Brother Ortiz's jalapeno cornbread. I don't know which it'll be. But somebody run the aisle and shout glory to God, scare some of you, bless some of you, make some of you mad and some of you happy. It won't make no difference to me what they do. I don't really care. It's going to be a long week. It's going to be a short week. And God's going to have a lot to say, and you're going to have to listen real, real good. You don't want to listen to preachers now. You want to listen to God.
Amen.
Who you want to get it from. Amen. And God's going to be knocking on your door. Now, this is written to the church of the Laodicean. Now, I know we apply it to lost people. I got no problem with that. But it's really written to save people. It's written to you. And God's going to knock on your door this week and want to talk to you about something. I don't know what. But you know. You probably knew before you got here. You know there ain't nothing wrong with all that shouting and hollering. You know me. Why, heck, 3 years ago down there in Pensacola, I busted 4 rivets off my braids, kicking a pole. And about brained a lady in the head with my crutch, which I threw 30 feet in the air. You say, was that the Holy Spirit of God? Didn't hit nobody. Huh? 5 men from North and South Carolina sitting on the second pew, all ranging from about 6'6" down to 5'7", all joined hands and jumped the front pew, being occupied, and began to run the building. That's good. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, sometimes all that shouting is just an excuse and a diversionary tactic to keep from hearing what God's trying to tell you. And you need to listen. In verse 20, the Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door." I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe that. I believe in the sovereignty of man. Some of you don't believe that. You see, a real sure enough Calvinist don't believe in the sovereignty of God, because he believes that God has to dictate and control man in order for God to operate. But my God can do what he wants to do no matter what you do. And the Lord says, if I'm a knocker and I want to do something and speak with you, well, he said, I'm waiting on you to answer. See, you got that door. The only one problem with that door, there's only one door knob. And it's on the inside. You're the only one can open. Now, if you're saved this morning, you got the Holy Ghost of God living inside of you. And he roams up and down in your life, and he tried to find the rooms that you're not letting him in, and he will knock on those doors and want in there. Because all of you belongs to it. And I don't know what you got stored in the attic or down in the basement or exactly where you got it stored, but God is going to come down there and he's going to say, I'd like to see that room. I'd like to get in there. I'd like to talk to you about that room. And each one of you got that room. You got at least one. So the Lord's knocking, and I got to looking at this thing, and the Lord gave me good outline, and I guess good, I don't know, probably flunk, I don't really care. Got 2 or 3 preachers take it and preach it, and I don't care about that either. I thank God, boy, whatever God gives a man, just get it out, whoever gets it out. And I got thinking about why people don't answer the door. Why is it that God been trying to call you and knock on your heart's door and want you to answer and commune with him? Why is it you don't answer that door? Oh, there's all kinds of reasons, isn't there? The first reason is people don't hear the knock. And then there's all kinds of reasons why they don't hear the knock. Now, don't worry, we're not going to be here till 7 o'clock. We're going to be here until God gets done. And that's when we're going to quit. And I hope it's just a few minutes, because I can't hardly stand this message myself. That's the truth. I speak the truth, brother. I lie not. And I need this thing. And that's why I didn't want to preach it. The first reason people don't hear the knock, because they're too busy. Oh, we live in a busybody Christianity. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you're not going to hear a lot of places, but I'll tell you what, I know it's so.
And a lot of you are trying to do something for God when God wants you just to be something. God's more interested in you being something than He is in you doing something. You say, oh, I've been to institute and I've been to Bible college and school and I got all this knowledge and now I'm ready to go and I got to find some place to go. You need to sit down and shut up a while and listen to God. You don't know nothing. You got knowledge and knowledge puffeth up. You need a little charity, a little grace. That's what you need. Don't be in such a big hurry to do something for God until you are something for God. Oh, I want to tell you, I believe in sowing. I believe in preaching, and I believe in evangelizing, and I believe in missionaries, and I believe in doing and working for God. I'm not telling you to sit back and do nothing. I believe in working for God and doing something for God. But oh, my friends, I want to tell you this morning, the biggest problem with Christianity in this country is we got people to get saved on Monday, and by next Sunday they're teaching a Sunday school class, and out here doing this, and out here doing that, and in a year they're preaching in a pulpit, and they ain't never had a chance to be still and listen to God and get something from God so that they got some substance and some sustenance down inside of their very fire, their soul, so that they are something for God. Amen. Knowledge doesn't make you anything for God. Don't be in such a hurry. You get in a hurry, you miss God. They're too busy. Why, I read my Bible in the last days, that men going to run to and fro. You know why that is? Because in the last days, the mystery of iniquity already been working for 6,000 years. And the Bible said in Daniel 12:4 that men would run to and fro and knowledge be increased. And the reason that is because men are more and more full of the devil than they ever been. Because in Job chapter 1 and verse 7, Job said that the devil is the one who said, I just been walking to and fro. That's why men running to and fro. They're more full of the devil than they ever been. That's all the more reason for you to sit down and listen to God and get more full of God than you ever been. They don't hear the knock because they're too busy. They're entangled and there's just too much noise going on. And sometimes, I want to tell you, I'm a street preacher. But you know, maybe sometimes you run down on that street corner to preach just to spout off your mouth when God wanted you to sit at home and learn something from Him. Amen, Brother Harris.
Amen.
Oh, so I got to do this and I got to do that. I tell you, we got a shallow Christianity that has a form of godliness and then got no power, denies the power of God because they won't sit down and shut up. The Bible said, be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
Paul got in there and he prayed and he said, that I may know Him. I want you to know, before Paul ever got busy for God, Paul spent 3 years on the backside of a desert listening to God.
Amen.
Being still. Quiet. Quiet in his heart. Quiet in his mind. Quiet in his actions. Quiet in his temperament. Just being still. You know why some of you don't answer the door? You just keep busy, 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 running all over the place because you don't want to answer that door and talk to God. You got a good opportunity this week. Lord willing, my preaching's done here in about 45, 50 more minutes. And then I can sit down and listen to God. Need to. He might be telling me something I missed. I need to get it. Just too busy running to and fro. You know, you can get so busy in the church. And oh, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. I'm not preaching against doing things now. See, you got to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. But part of doing the word is being still and knowing that I'm God. That's in there. And you get so busy teaching this and doing that and involved with this, and you know, you're running to church here on Monday and running on Tuesday, and you're running here and running there and doing this and doing that, and you ain't had no time in 3 years to sit down and listen to God. Oh, you know that's so. You need to take a time. And some people don't answer the door. They don't hear it. They're too busy. And they're too far away. Been knocking on the door and somebody be in the backyard. And they can't hear the knock. Be knocking on the door, somebody be down in the basement and they can't hear the knock. They're just kind of too far away. David said, "Lord, why standest thou afar off?" But you know it ain't David. David got it all wrong. It's not the Lord that's far away. It's me. It's you. See, my God's where he's always been. That Bible said he's a very present help in time of trouble. He's right there. And when God seems far away, brother, God didn't go fishing nowhere. God hadn't moved. You moved. And you got so far away that the Holy Spirit of God knocks, but you can't hear. I'm reading with my wife this morning, Ephesians chapter 4, how you grieve and quench the Holy Spirit of God. And some of you have gotten bitterness and discontentment down inside your heart and your soul. And you're so far away from God that God's a knocking, but you just can't hear that knock because you're too far away. And then some people don't hear the knock because they're too deaf. I don't like this one. They've grieved and quenched the Holy Spirit of God to the point that they've seared the conscience. And the Bible says about a man that seared his conscience in Hebrews 3:13, he said that they have hardened their heart through the deceitfulness of sin. Not somebody else's sin, your sin. And the Lord knocking, but you can't hear. Why? Because you hardened your heart. You've been messing around with it, messing around in sin. It's just as much sin not to do what you know is good to do as it is to do wrong. And you've been messing around, and you keep sinning, and you know you're sinning, and you know you're doing it wrong, till all of a sudden you get peace about sin. Oh, that's right. I don't believe all these people run and say, "Oh, I got peace about it, Brother Harrison. I got peace about it." You can get peace from the devil, you can get peace from the world, or you can get peace from God. The only one that lasts is the one from God. A little lady down there in Florida a while back and left her husband. Left her husband, and that's just the way it went. Called him up, talked to him, and says, "God's given me real peace about doing that." No, God didn't give her no peace about nothing. The Holy Spirit didn't give her no peace. Because that ain't Bible. Amen. See, you just say, "Oh, I got peace about, I'm praying. I got peace about doing this, peace about doing that." Well, John Wesley says, "A man talked about that, I feared for his conscience." You ought to check up a little bit. Your peace might be coming from the devil. Might be coming from yourself. You've been sinning and sinning. You ain't going to get right. You're not going to do nothing to get right. And God's knocking, and you can't hear the knock. You're too dead. Oh, you need some help. And then some people don't answer the door because they know who it is. Huh? And they're afraid of the knocker. Look what he said down there in verse 15. "I know thy works. I know thy works." Look at here. A suit on. A tie. All out there, you look pretty. Got all your stuff on, you know, you look real nice. But God knows your works.
Amen.
I don't care what you say, God knows your works. You know why you won't answer that door? Because it'll just be you and God in that room.
Amen.
And you can fool me. I think you're doing fine, everything's all right, but God knows your works.
Amen.
Oh, you can't get away from God. Why, if you went to hell, he's there.
Amen.
You ascended up to heaven, he's there. Where are you going to get away from God? God knows your works. And he not only knows your works, but God knows the result of your works. God knows the effect of your works on others. God knows the motive for your works.
Amen.
God knows the method of your works. And God knows the unfinished works you got. Well, he knows your works. I appreciate the quietness. I'm just one, I can preach with amens and hallelujahs. But I like that quietness. Because I know God is getting through to somebody. And that's what we want this morning. Oh God, we want Rex Harrison out of this thing and we want God in it. I know thy works. I preached this message one time, a lady, only a lady would do this. Because men are slobs. And a lady came up to me and said, Brother Harrison, I know why people don't answer the door. I said, why? She said, because the house is in a mess. And he knows your work. And that house in a mess. Woo! They said, well, the preacher's coming over. I gotta get this house all cleaned up for the preacher. Hey, sister, you ain't married to the preacher. You're supposed to keep that house clean for that husband. And if you gotta make a special effort to clean it up for other company coming, there's something wrong with your house. The house in a mess. You know why people don't answer the door these days? Because the house in a mess. The husband ain't the head like he's supposed to be. He's either a tyrant or iron-fisted and tough and going to rule with a rod of iron. And that ain't right. Or he's weak and sugar syrup dripping off and run by that woman. And that ain't right either. You won't answer that door because your house in a mess. And you're going to have to clean up your house if you answer that door. And them women, they so rebellious. Oh, and so full of the devil. You ain't going to answer that door because you're going to do something about that. But I tell you what, God's going to knock on your door this week. Boy, God's going to knock on your door. And look at here. You might as well open the door. See, you done let the devil in. And if you'll open the door and let God in, the devil go away.
Amen.
Huh? He said, draw nigh to God. And he'll flee from you. You might as well open that door. Hey, look, your way ain't working. Why, you ain't got no peace and joy in that house. You ain't got no contentment in that home. You got strife and pride and envy. And God can't work. And the Holy Ghost of God can't do nothing in your heart. Better open that door. He said, I know your works. And you come to church and you say amen and hallelujah. And you go home. And just go to hell and get out of here. Amen, Brother Harrison. And God knows your works. and it might be time to sit down and go back over the blueprint. Read the instruction manual. And go to the foreman and see if there might be some way to fix it up. I know thy work. They won't answer the door because he knows what they're doing. Ain't that a strange thing? Isn't that a strange thing that the Lord be knocking on your door and he knows what you're doing and you know he knows what you're doing? And he knows why you're doing what you're doing and you know that he knows all that? And yet you think you're going to hide behind a closed door? No. You see, to open the door is not to benefit God. Hey, God don't need you. You need God. And open that door is only going to be good for you. Well, it might hurt now. Might hurt a while. And house cleaning gets kind of a long, drawn-out process. But I'll tell you what, when you get all the junk out, it just looks so pretty in there. There's so much love and peace and joy. So much Holy Ghost to come. Ain't that something? They're afraid of the knocker. He knows what they're doing. And they're afraid because of the light that he'll bring. Well, Paul said that we're not to walk like the Gentiles walk in the vanity of our mind. And we're to put off that old man. Why? Because that old man dwells in darkness. But that new man dwells in light. You open that door and the light comes in. But you see, when the light comes in, everybody can see what's going on. Say, oh, if I open that door, everybody's going to see in this room. They done been picking around with their little flashlights anyway. They done been looking. But I tell you what. You let the Lord in there, and you finally be able to see where you're going. And you ain't been able to see the end of it yet, have you? But if you just open the door and let the light in, you'll be able to see where you're going. You won't be stumbling around over the furniture anymore. How about that? Well, we're going to hurry. They're afraid of the knocker. They won't open the door because he knows their works and he shed some light on their works and because they shamed him in their works. You ever been backbiting somebody, gossiping about them, and then they show up and sit in the front pew in front of you or right beside you? And you almost can't look them in the eyes. You're kind of ashamed to be around them, aren't you?
Amen.
See, you kind of drug their name down and you shamed them. And the Lord knock on your door this week. And some of you are going to be tempted not to answer the knock because you've been shaming him. You've been dragging his name down. And then you've been trampling on his blood. And you've been guilty of taking the name of God in vain. And I don't mean by cursing, but I mean by the way you're living. So you've been like them women back there in Isaiah 4, and they said, seven women went to one man, and they said, hey, give us your name. We'll wear your name, but we're going to eat our own bread. Wearing the name, but staying the same. You won't open that door because you're ashamed. Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that old prodigal son, he was down there in the muck and the mire and the hog pen, down there with the slop. The hog didn't even want to eat that stuff, and he was down there with all that, and he finally came to himself and said, I'm going to rise and go to my father, and I'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And he said, I'm going to ask him if I could just be like one of them hired servants. And oh, he chained his daddy and drug his daddy's name down in the mud, and the family name was no good with that black sheep. But I want you to know, there's a little old knock in his heart saying, come home. Got down the hog pen, they know where else to go. 2,000 miles away from home, and there's a little old knocker and says, come home. Come on home. You think home is a house? No. No, it ain't. You think home is something on wheels? No, that ain't home. Home is God.
Amen.
Home is God. And he said, come on home, boy. And that old boy heard that voice. And he said, oh, I've shamed him. But he opened the door anyway, and he got home. And listen, when he got home, he had his speech all planned out, prepared, and he said his speech, but he meant it really from the heart. And he said it to his daddy, and he shamed his daddy so bad. And the prodigal son was the only one that mentioned it, and the elder brother was the other one that mentioned it. But the father, he didn't say nothing about it. You know, if you just open that door, why, the devil will keep you so ashamed that you won't open the door. And if you'll open that door, the Lord come in there, clean up the room and put his arms around you, throw it under the blood and forget all about it. You just have sweet fellowship.
Amen.
Don't wait too long.
Amen.
Now, he probably knocked all week long. But I'll tell you what, you have so much better enjoyment out of this week if you just open the door today.
Amen.
I hope we're making some sense this morning.
Amen.
Look in verse 18. They're not only afraid of the knocker, but they know who he is, and they're afraid to answer because of association with the person knocking. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. What did Peter say? The trying your faith is much more precious than that of gold. Why, one of the blessed things you got in Christ Jesus when you got saved was tribulation. You say, I don't seem like a blessed thing. Oh, but it is. Oh, but it is. See, they had earthly gold and wealth, but they didn't have none of that gold from God. That faith hadn't been tried. And every time God wanted to try them, they run away from the situation. Maybe you've been here this week, you say, well, I need to get away from here. But you ain't going to get away from you.
Yeah, amen.
You see, this ain't the problem. Oh, we always blaming everybody else, but the problem's us.
Amen.
The problem's you. It ain't nobody else. It's you. God said, I counsel thee, buy me gold, tried in the fire. Now I want to tell you, when that gold gets in that fire and that gold gets tried, all that dross comes off and you get a purified substance coming out. And you get that old pure gold and you can take that and just stretch it and stretch it and stretch it a half a mile. A little ounce of gold, you can stretch that stuff a half a mile and never break. About that. Well, you see, when you open the door and let the Lord come in and talk with you and commune with you, then you got the Pharisees on your back. Then you got the Sadducees on your back. Then you got worse than that. You got all the backslidden brethren on your back. Because they want to think, they want to cry and say, oh, you holier than thou. See, they just jealous.
That's right.
Because they don't want that communion with God.
That's right. Amen.
Man said, preached a message one time, said, how far is far enough? He said, I don't know how far, too far is. But he said, when you get to the point where you glorify God in every area of your life, you're going far enough. Anybody got there yet? Oh, I believe you're going too far. Well, I don't believe you're going far enough. You won't answer that door, because when you let the Lord come in now, you're going to be accused of hanging around with publicans and sinners.
Amen.
Well, Brother Homer Smith says that they made one accusation of Jesus Christ at the trial that was true. They said he was a friend of publicans and sinners.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Well, I tell you what, you get associated with him and he comes in there, then you're probably going to have to move outside the camp, aren't you?
Amen.
Ain't that where he got glorified?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, it was. Isn't that where he got lifted up?
Amen.
You want Jesus Christ to be lifted up in you, you're going to have to move outside the camp.
Amen.
Might be the camp of the brethren. Might be the camp of family. Oh, he said back there, you got to love me more than your father and your mother and your son, your daughter, and your wife, and your sisters, your brothers. Matter of fact, he said, let's just put a tag on it. He said, if you don't love me more than you, you can't be my disciple. You open that up, and when you get associated with Jesus Christ, you're associated with a man of sorrow. You'll have grief. I'm not one of these 700 PTL preachers. I believe when you get saved, far as eternity is concerned, everything's all right. But boy, you headed for trouble. The only way to be refined is to go through the fire. There ain't any other way to do it. And I tell you what, when you get chasing the God, when you go through the fire, you're not going to get refined if you despise the chastening, and you're not going to get refined if you faint under the chastening. That's the two things you got to watch out for when you're going through the fire. You got to keep that heart good and that heart right.
He says, I'm knocking. He said, if anybody answer, he said, I'll let him answer. Well, Lord, I'd answer. But Lord, you know, if I answer and get too close to you now, the people are going to start hating me.
Uh-huh. Yes, it will. But I tell you, the more the world hates you, the more the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. What a blessing. What a blessing. So they're afraid to answer because of association with him. And I never can understand that. I never can understand that because he wasn't afraid to be associated with me. Now, I want you to know I was a sinner, lost, and undone, vile and wretched and full of sin, and headed for hell, and filthy, and like that man that drowned in the gutter in his own filth. I was polluted in my own blood, and filthy and vile, and just nobody wanted to touch. Now, I want you to know he wasn't worried about being associated with me. He come down and he put his arms around me and he lifted me up out of miry clay. Oh, he pulled me out of the pit, a deep and a horrible pit he pulled me out of. He wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty.
Amen.
Wasn't afraid to get his hands bloody. Wasn't afraid to get his feet bloody and defiled. He wasn't afraid to get his head pierced with the crown of thorns. He wasn't afraid to lay down on a cross and be lifted up in front of all men, naked and open shame, bearing my sin. He wasn't ashamed of association
Amen.
With me.
Amen.
Who am I
Amen.
To not open the door and to be ashamed to be associated with the King of Glory? So it may cost hard trial. So it may cost friends. So it may cost family. So it may cost dreams. May cost wealth. May cost of things in this life. But brother, I tell you, the same joy that he endured the cross for is my joy when I go through the suffering and the trial of my faith. And I come back out of that trial, and the Bible says he's going to come and he'll get me to be admired in all his saints, he said. joy be mine.
Amen.
Oh, weeping endures for the night, and we're in the night, but joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
Joy comes. It's like that winter time. When that winter time's over, them, you know why them flowers are so pretty? Huh? Because that snow that covered the land watered that ground. It just looked ugly, and after a while you got tired of shoveling. After a while it just got so cold. You just didn't want to mess in it and drive in it. But I tell you, when spring came and that snow had melted, and that pure snow water had melted and got down in that ground, and flowers came up. That's what the brother's talking about. Just like a trial. When them trials are over with, I tell you, just that much more refined and closer to God.
Amen.
Didn't she too excited? This kind of goes the first point, so I'm going to hurry it up. I meant to put them together, but I forgot about it. Some people just get too excited. You ever know them people? They always going to do something, never do anything. Oh, they excited about God. I tell you, had a buddy of mine out in Redondo Beach, California, and he saved up all his pennies. He saved up those pennies because he was going to a big soul winning conference in Wichita, Kansas. He bought his plane ticket and went out there. Had enough pennies to buy tapes, books, and all the paraphernalia. He come back, man, all them soul winning books. I don't know how many. And tapes. Tell me how they preach and act in and out and all that kind of stuff. 3 months later, I said, Henry, you been out winning any souls? Oh, no, I'm reading the books. Must be a lesson to learn there somewhere. Just so excited about everything and excited about God and never do nothing. I can't understand that kind of excitement. Like that little girl there in Acts 12 when Peter's in jail. Huh? Boy, Peter's in jail there. And they're all praying for Peter to hang in there and stick with it and not deny God again. They got in there, and about that time there was a knock on the door. That little girl goes to the door, opens up that peephole of gas, looks through there and says, "It's Peter, it's Peter." Knocking on the door. "Hey, let me in." She says, "It's Peter. Peter's out there at the door." Run back in and tell everybody about Peter being out at the door. He wants in. Boy, God be knocking on you this week and say, "Oh, boy, the Lord really spoke to me in that message. Oh, boy, God really got a hold of me. And I tell you, boy, the Lord really knocking. Open the door. Shut your mouth and open the door." You too excited. You need to open the door.
We about done, aren't you glad? And then I don't know what to do about this next one. This one breaks my heart. And then I really don't have the answer. Some people don't answer the door. They hear the knock. And they know who it is. And they just too weak to get to the door. They're too sick. And they just can't get to the door. Oh my God, this country's full of Christians. They're just too sick to get to the door. It's almost like when the waters are troubled, but they need somebody to get them to the door. Carry them. You know, you take an old sick hound dog, and I mean just skin and bones and just sick and hadn't eaten in a long time, and you lay a nice, big, thick T-bone steak, he won't even eat it. Why, you put some water out there, won't even drink it. They just can't get to the door. You know, I really don't know about this thing about a lost man crossing the line. I don't know about all that. I'm not saying so ain't so. But I know a saved man can cross the line. I know that. I know that sure as I'm standing here. I tell you what you better do this week, honey. You better answer that door. I don't care how faint that knock is. You better open it while you got strength open. If you got to crawl to get to that doorknob, you better crawl. But you better open. I've seen people all over this country. I believe they love God. I really do. I believe they love God, and I believe they want to serve God. And I believe they want to do something for God. But they're just too weak. They just can't open that door. I don't know what you do. Pray for them is all I know you do. I guess it's like a message I preached last night. If you're down in that shape this morning, then you need to go to Psalm 12 and verse 1. And you'd say, "Help, Lord, help. I can't do it myself." I ain't going to give you that outline because I don't want to get off the track. And then there's just a couple of more. People don't answer the door because they don't need what's at the door. You know, years and years ago when I was working in Tallahassee, Florida, and I was making $50 a week, associate there, and so I tried to supplement, I forget what it was, I don't know if it was Amway or Fuller Brush, I can't remember which, but anyway, I was carrying one of them bags. And I'd knock on the door and there'd be people, and I could see them in there. You've been like that on visitation? And you know, they wouldn't answer the door. They need no brushes. They didn't even be bothered by no sales. So they wouldn't open the door. How about that this morning? Look at that verse there. What is that? Verse 18? Verse 17. I want you to know, now I know all about these churches back there historically, and I know that this is a tribulation kind of a reference, and I also know that it belongs to a church age. And I know we're in the Laodicean period. But I tell you what you do, you stand the judgment seat of Christ and use that for an excuse and see how far you get.
Amen.
Now look what this church has done. This church has replaced God with itself. Look at the words. "Because thou sayest, I am." Huh? I heard some preachers the other day talking in a, we was in an ordination thing. I don't even like him thing, but we was in it anyway. And we was in that thing and over there in Michigan. I heard some preachers, they talking about, if you ever going to build a church, you ever going to build this, ever. I tell you what, you ain't going to build nothing.
Amen.
What you build is going to fall apart.
Amen.
You get out of the way and let God do the work.
Amen.
God will build something that'll last.
That's right.
Well, this church, and look, we know you're not. But heck, Lord, I mean, we got the pews. And we got the carpet and the piano and the organ. We got our chandeliers and our air conditioning. And Lord, really, I am rich. You're poor. Oh, you're poor. God gonna let them run you out. I said that yesterday morning. God's going to run you out.
quit crying like a ball baby about all this persecution. You're not very scriptural. Quit running around the country hollering and griping and crying because God's allowing the Babylonians to come in and carry you to captivity. Because, see, the problem ain't the government, the problem's you.
Amen.
Oh, my Christian school, that's the trouble. It's yours.
Amen.
Oh, my church, that's the trouble. It's yours. God said, hey, I'm going to run you out, and you're going to know that you're poor and miserable and naked and wretched and blind, and you need me.
Amen.
Well, Lord, why would I need you? I got my clipboard. And after all, Lord, why should the Holy Ghost of God be able to lead me in visitation? Because I got my prospect list.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, what you going to walk by faith for? I mean, after all, I got GM and Kodak. Amen, Brother Harrison. I'm rich. I've troubled half you Yankees. That's your problem. It's getting so being a Bible believer is about the only way left to walk with faith. Because we don't need God for nothing else. We kind of forced in believing the book, see. But we sure don't need Him for nothing else. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? That church made itself God. Well, God's name is I Am. That's God's name. That church is I Am. God said, no, you ain't. There's not room in this town for two of us. And if you don't go, I'm going to run you out on Sunday. Huh? Let me give you this and I'll get the last point and quit because you done got your cup. Ooh. I believe the rapture is a coming. I believe the Lord's come and take us home. And I tell you what else I believe. I believe you're not going to escape persecution. You Americans are looking at the rapture as an escape hatch. You don't want the Lord to come to see Him. You want Him to come to get you out. I'm not trying to be mean this morning. God knows, I prayed this morning, and I said, Lord, I just want to help. God, I want to give them something they can grab a hold of and help. You see, Jesus Christ started His earthly ministry in about 30 A.D. And they rejected Him right in that first year as a nation. And He kept on just seeking out individuals. And He told them there in Matthew 12, He said, the men of Nineveh are going to rise up in judgment against you. Because the men of Nineveh had a little black backslidden Jewish preacher who didn't even want to preach to them. Didn't even want them to get right and got mad about it when they got right. And yet, them old Gentiles in Nineveh, that little old Jewish preacher come walking through there and preach that message yet 40 days. God shall destroy Nineveh. Because 40's the number of testing. And so they repented. And God repented of evil He's going to do them. And they didn't get destroyed in 40 days. But 40's the number of testing. And in 30 A.D. they rejected Jesus Christ's ministry. They done rejected John's. Then they rejected Jesus Christ. And God said, Nineveh, rise up in judgment. And He brought Nineveh's name in because of that 40 days. And I want you to know, in 30 A.D. they rejected, and in 70 A.D., 40 years, Titus came in and destroyed. You say, what you getting at? I want you to know that before the destroyed Israel, the Christians were brought under severe persecution. You listen to me. You listening to God. You better get ready. If I was you, I'd answer that knock. And I'd get that close communion with God. But brother, you're going to need it. You're going to need it.
I don't even like to preach about that stuff. Well, then I won't give you the last reason, and then I'm going to close. You see, the Lord is knocking on your door this morning. And I don't know what room he's at or what he wants, but I know you do. You know what he's talking to you about. And either you're too busy, too far away, or too deaf and can't hear it, or you're afraid of him because he knows your works and what you've been doing and why, and you shamed him. Or maybe you don't want that association because it might cost you too much. Maybe you're just one of them people that's real excited. God forbid you're too weak. Maybe you're just proud. That was the real sin of Sodom, pride. That's what God said in Ezekiel chapter 16. But I want to tell you that the reason you don't answer the door, he said in verse 20, if any man will, amen, open that door. You know why you won't open that door? Because you just don't want to. Isn't that it? See, God created man and put inside a man a free will. Now talk about them husbands loving them wives. See, God knew that love can't be forced, because then it isn't love. And so God put that free will in there and left it up to you to open or close the door. And the real problem, not your neighbors and your church and your wife and your husband, and the real problem is you. You just don't want to open it. And I tell you what, there'll be people that'll be here all week long, and when it's all over with, you'll walk away and you won't open the door. And all you'll have excuses. You blame everybody else. But really, really, you just didn't want to open the door. You just didn't want to. But I'm here to tell you, you're really missing out on something. Oh, you're missing out. Jesus has a table spread. Oh, where the saints of God are fed, and he invites his chosen people, come on and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, it's sweet. May not be sweet to sup with this world. While the world leaves a bitter taste in your mouth. May not be sweet to sup with sin. Because I tell you, sin will get you. But I want you to know this morning that it's sweet to sup with Jesus all the time.
Amen.
All the time. And he wants you to have that sweet fellowship and communion. Now I tell you, your problems won't go away. But I want you to know that you have someone to cast those problems on. Someone to carry you through the hard times if you just open the door. I want to give you personal experience and then I want to close because that's what God wants. And maybe to help you out. You know, the Lord sometimes has a way of cutting you off from everybody and everything so that you realize where your real communion and fellowship is. And sometimes even we as preachers, we get so busy in the work of the Lord that we never have communion with the Lord of the work. And you know, two months ago, the Lord kind of worked to cut me off. And I mean, when He cut me off, He cut me off. And nobody. I just couldn't get a hold of nobody. Phone wouldn't answer. Nobody's there. And really what was going on was God was knocking. And I was trying to get busy to keep from getting alone with God. I'd fellowship with the brethren, because that way I wouldn't have fellowship with God. How about that? Well, the Lord, He kind of took the brethren away. The Lord cut me off from my family. The Lord just cut me off. And I got alone in there and got mad. You know, whenever you get mad, it's because somebody hit you. Oh, yeah. You throw a rock down the alley, the dog that yelps, the one that got hit. You've been having trouble with griping and complaining lately. You know what's wrong? You got hit. Uh-huh. And what you ought to do is just quit pointing the finger at everybody else and just get alone with God. Get mad. I got mad. I got so frustrated and mad and I was bawling and crying and I picked up my Bible to throw it because it was near me and I just couldn't do it. And I threw something else. And I began to cry and bawl and get mad at God. And the Lord was so happy. Because that's the first real honest fellowship I'd had with Him in a long time. And I said, Lord, I just can't go on. That's why He'd been knocking. He knew I couldn't go on. And He knew what I needed. And I got alone with Him. And the Lord got me through one day at a time. And I'm of the conclusion and persuasion that that's how He's going to do it. Till I die or Jesus comes. But every morning, you got to open the door and sup with Him. And commune with Him. And let Him shed some light in your life so you can clean out the cobwebs. And He said, if you would just open that door, that's all you got to do. I'm knocking. You don't even have to come out. Just open the door and I'll come in. God's going to knock on your heart this week. Open the door. There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree, and it whispers, draw closer to me. Leave this world far behind. There are new heights to climb and a new place In me you will find, take the dearest things to me, if that's how it must be, to draw me closer to thee. Lead the disappointments come, and the lonely days without sun, if through sorrow more like you I become. Take my houses and my lands, change my dreams and my plans, for I'm placing my whole life in your hands. And if you call me today to a land far away, Lord, I'll go and your will obey. For whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I want to be willing to do. For whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. Now trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain, that's what I'm willing to do. For whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. I wonder if we could stand. And brother, I feel led to do this. I wonder if we stand, and I tell you what, I really don't want no instruments. And you just bow your heads and be in an attitude of prayer. And if the Lord is knocking on your heart this morning, we got room at an altar. And you just come on. Just come on. Not going to be playing no songs. Not going to be busy. I don't know what he wants, but you know. You know what he wants. Now I want to say, if you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, oh, the blessed Savior, he knocks at your heart's door this morning. And if you'll open that door, or if you recognize your need of the Savior, if you just open to him and receive him, he'll come in and he'll save your soul. And Brother George is down here. If you need be saved this morning, you just step out where you are. You find Brother Grace here. You said there's no music. We're not having no music now. Nothing wrong with music. But we just need God. We just need God. Now, altar, there's still plenty of places. You want to kneel at your pew, you kneel there. At your chair. You do what God tells you to do. And I'm going to ask Brother George, and I'll be here if you need to be saved, but I'm going to ask Brother George if he'd just come and pray here right now. The Lord leads him to do.